You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are watching and listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is July 26, 2021. Well, we had a certain outbreak of illness recently that basically shut down the world. It appeared that it was heading in the right trend, and vaccines, etc. It was looking up, but now we see a reemergence. And the question is, what effect is that going to have on the U.S. economy, the global economy, and world trade in general? You would hope that that politicians had learned the lesson that lockdowns are basically useless. But then, hey, you would always hope that common sense would prevail, and it often doesn't. So surprise there. Right now, our good friend Octavio Morenza is with us now. And Octavio, hey, it's great to have you back on. So what is going on here? And I should mention you're the founder of Apemis. And it's really great to have you back on. So what is going on in the world here? Are we embarking on a new round of insanity?
Well, Carrie, thanks so much for having me back. I think we might well be, I don't know, in insanity. I think if you look at it in the terms of those people who believe in the efficacy of masks and lockdowns and vaccinations and things like that, there are some troubling numbers that are coming out that seem to be being largely ignored, certainly in more mainstream media outlets. And what is interesting is if we look at the vaccination rates in some of the most vaccinated countries in the world, and I'm thinking about the UK, I'm thinking about tiny island of Malta, Cyprus, places like that, Gibraltar too, in fact, what you're seeing is sort of a troubling trend in the sense that many of these places were very, very good at getting large proportions of their populations vaccinated, and in some cases have sort of the leading vaccination rates in the world, but they're seeing a rapid spike now in terms of cases. So the caseload in those countries is spiking up quite rapidly. If you look at the UK, certainly, they're now talking about having another lockdown in the not-too-distant future. There were a lot of scientists who were very much opposed to the freeing up that happened on the 19th of July, just the day before yesterday, but are talking about now having another lockdown come in September. But if you look at the statistics, they're actually quite troubling. It's just going straight up. The question becomes, how is that possible? I mean, we're told in part that that is due to unvaccinated people, but it's difficult to see how you could get those kind of proportions in an unvaccinated population in the UK where the majority of people now are actually vaccinated. And the health minister recently came out and said that 60% of the new cases were actually in fully vaccinated people. Now, that is very troubling too, because they haven't reached yet 60% of the population being fully vaccinated. I think it's just about 50%. So if 50% or just let's say 55% of the population are fully vaccinated, but 60% of your new cases are in fully vaccinated individuals, that's a very, very troubling number to have to grapple with. And it would seem that to the extent that the vaccinations provided any protection, it might have been fairly short-term and short-lived. And then there looks like there's some sort of rebound effect. But it's very hard to say. The numbers are very, very difficult to sift through. They're very difficult to get. And it there's so many different factors to worry about. It's like, when were they vaccinated? How many people are vaccinated? What do they count as a vaccinated person, an unvaccinated person? So these things are quite difficult to sift through. But the numbers are not that encouraging. They don't look that good.
Yeah, well, the question is, do you just stop everything again? You saw the disastrous consequences that had. And I don't know how any right-thinking politician could even consider it again. Certainly, the United States, short of the bubonic plague reemerging, it's not going to happen here. I don't know that people are going to put up with it in LA County. They tried to impose a mask mandate, and the sheriff of Los Angeles County said, "Hey guys, go follow the science. I'm not enforcing this thing." So you got to wonder where this is all headed.
But that is kind of disturbing. So I'm actually going out to Los Angeles in a few days. So I'm curious to see on the ground what it looks like. But when the sheriff of LA County becomes a sort of your guardian of science and scientific research, it does seem that something seriously has gone wrong, that's the person who has to make that kind of judgment call. But I don't know. I think they'll try. I mean, obviously they're trying in LA. They might be tempted to try in other parts. And I don't know if it's universally accepted that lockdown was a disaster. I think in many quarters, it's considered to have been a great success and saved many, many lives. Now, I don't necessarily subscribe to that perspective, but I don't think it's universally considered to have been a catastrophic failure, well, even though perhaps it should be.
The studies that have come out have showed us that unabated failure, because what's the worst disease in the world? The worst disease in the world is poverty. And you manage to throw 200-300 million people around the globe into poverty. And what does that do to their health? The worst thing in the world for individual health is poverty. So anything you do that increases poverty, not to mention drug overdoses, suicides, alienation, people's inability to get so-called elective procedures, which turned out not to be so elective. All these things considered show that it was an unmitigated worldwide disaster by any measure. The number of suicides and drug overdoses that went up in the United States by several hundred percent. I don't know. I haven't seen other countries' statistics, and at least partially, you could ascribe the social unrest to some extent to these lockdowns. When you lock people up in tiny little apartments and say you can only come out to go buy a piece of cheese, is it any wonder that we had the widespread social unrest? And now you see in places in Europe, you're getting mask riots there and forcible vaccinations. People are just not buying it, and you're seeing riots.
Indeed, and it seems that France is leading the way, and maybe France will lead the way in terms of new revolutions around this. They seem to be quite well organized about uprisings, rebellions, revolutions, and so maybe they'll lead the way there. But I think that does underscore, Kerry, that there are a lot of people who think that these measures are necessary and need to be implemented and forced when necessary. And you know, you have it coming or not. It's interesting. A friend of mine pointed out to me that about a year ago, we were messaging back and forth, and I wrote them a message saying, you know, when we look back at this scare and this pandemic, we'll say that was a really weird 10 years. And I think that's the direction we're going in. Who would have thought that coming up for 2 years later, we're still embroiled in this and with no end in sight, with no end in sight. It's going to go on, I think, almost indefinitely, that there'll be attempts to come, new variants appear, new mutations of the virus that will lead to new lockdowns and new mandates. And I think we have not seen the end of this. I think you disagree with me on that, but I think we'll have to agree to disagree. I think there's going to be attempts and pushing to have vaccine mandates, mask mandates, vaccination passports or paperwork they have to prove that you've been vaccinated or don't have the disease. I think all those things might be with us for a good long time to come and almost on a permanent basis.
Well, in Florida, they banned vaccine passports, and in other states as well in the U.S. And especially what you're saying now is the vaccinated people are getting infected. Interestingly enough, studies have shown that people who were previously suffering from the virus, who got it, are as immune or more immune than people who had vaccines, who were vaccinated. But, you know, none of this information actually gets out to the public. No good, you know, the data has been severely wanting, put it that way.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. At Silver One's Candelaria Mine project in Nevada, there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver, which Silver One is developing and advancing. The company's Phoenix Silver project, located within the Arizona Silver Belt, is an early-stage exploration project on which native silver vein fragments have been discovered near surface. One grab sample assay an astounding 14,688 ounces per ton. Yes, that's right, ounces, not grams. Silver One has tremendous exploration potential, is extremely leveraged to the price of silver, and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to silverone.com. That's silverone.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah, I guess that there is lots of data that remains kind of unanalyzed, or if someone's doing really good work on analyzing it, they're not getting it, the word out somehow. So I'm sure in some corner somewhere, there's somebody doing some really interesting analysis of the numbers and coming up with interesting findings. You simply can't find it. It's sort of hidden from sight. You have to look very, very hard to get anything that's not sort of the mainstream narrative. So we'll see how this unfolds. But I'm expecting fully that in the UK, for example, we'll see new lockdowns, and that might have ripple on effects. And it does seem these politicians change their minds quite quickly. You know, you mentioned the case of France. Not so long ago, Macron was saying there would never be a vaccine mandate in France that was unconstitutional and would go against fundamental liberties. He's fully changed course on that and now is insisting that you have to be vaccinated to go to a restaurant or a cafe or to even sit outside on a terrace. You have to be show that you're vaccinated. So he's come full circle quite quickly on that and contradicted himself massively. And oddly enough, is claiming that it's not a mandate. People are not mandated to get vaccinated. It's what they call a maximum inducement, is how they're referring to it, which sounds a lot like a mandate to me. But
a mandate by any name, right?
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, so you think this is going to be with us for a while? Well, here in Florida, it's like none of it ever happened. Yes, the infection rates are up, no question about it, but they're still well below. And the death rate is way down from where it was previously. So if the death rate is down, hospitalizations are up, what does that tell you?
Well, it could tell you all sorts of things. It could tell you that those people who were the most vulnerable got it already, and the people catching it now are less vulnerable or less likely. It could tell you the vaccinations do have an effect in terms of reducing the severity of the disease, perhaps not in terms of actually catching it, that we're going to see lots of infections, but not necessarily very serious hospitalizations and deaths. So it could be lots of things. It is very hard to untangle all the numbers. And I pointed out to you before that some of the numbers are a bit misleading, because now in the US we're told that the vast majority of cases are in unvaccinated people, but they have a rather odd way of counting vaccination rates. So if you haven't received both courses of vaccinations and that didn't happen more than 2 weeks ago, you're counted as being unvaccinated. So even though you had both vaccinations, but it's only been 1 week since your second vaccination, you're still counted as an unvaccinated person. So I think we'll have to untangle that a bit and go a bit deeper than they're going so far.
Yeah, and the CDC refuses to consider that there's immunity after having gotten it. And that's like flies in the face of like over a hundred years of immunological and inoculation research.
Yes, they're having to rewrite some serious parts of virology as they go along. So, but that seems to be accepted quite swimmingly and quite willingly by a lot of people. So they have had to do that, but not too many people seem that disturbed by it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to find out more as this thing progresses. And it certainly appears that a corner had been turned in the U.S. and maybe it's been turned back again. I don't know the answer to that. But what about what's going on? Is that the only story in the economy, or are there other things you need to be aware of?
Well, I think the ongoing story in terms of the markets and the economy is really sort of monetary pumping from the central banks, led by the European Central Bank and the Fed and banks like that, who continue to pump huge amounts of liquidity into the market. And so that, I think, is the major thing to watch in terms of the economy. I think the potential shutdowns coming or cross-border trade being disrupted by new lockdowns. So that's, I think, a possibility there. And then I think we also have the possibility that interest rate policies change at some stage in the future, not in the immediate future, and that leads to a sharp contraction in terms of the market is. So I think those are the major things to watch over at sort of the macro level.
All right. So every crisis comes opportunity. Where are the opportunities?
Well, I guess if you feel that you can time things really, really well, so I would say as monetary expansion continues, it's best to be sort of in growth stocks and stocks that have long-term growth potential and carry on riding that. And that has done very well over the course of the past year or so, maybe not in the past couple of days, you know, but these things are volatile back and forth. But overall, over the course of the past year or 2 years, there's been a clear trend there. I think at some stage, inflation is going to start to show its head even more strongly than it has so far. And the Fed will be forced to increase interest rates. And at that stage, the market will contract quite sharply. And at that stage, what you want to do is be in cash. You want to be out of the markets. You want to be in cash. You don't even want to be in long-term bonds. You want to basically be in very short-term bonds and cash to the extent possible. So that is, I think, where the big opportunity is sort of a growth stock play, tech play for the time being still. There's still some momentum in that market, but then running for the exits at exactly the right time. And you have to watch what the Fed is going to do there and time that appropriately. But there's the risk, of course, that you miss the peak of the market then as well, that you don't ride it all the way. But I guess you want to miss the peak. That's the point, right? You don't want to be holding on, sitting on stocks as the stock market peaks and then comes back down.
You know what legendary investor Bernard Baruch said? I got rich letting the other guy make the last 10%.
Indeed, yeah. You don't want to be the guy making the last 10%, sort of paradoxically.
Well, you know the old saying, when you're at the poker table, if you don't know who the sucker is, it's you.
I think, well, and as the great Kenny Rogers said, you've got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
And when to walk and when to run. So we could kind of bounce them off all day. But, you know, these old saws, especially Wall Street saws, are very, very true, very telling. And, just to conclude the interview with one, you never go broke taking a profit on Wall Street.
Indeed.
All right, Octavio, tell us where we find you. How do we connect with you on the web?
Our website is opimas.com, opimas.com. So you can just look me up there.
All right. And there's a link in the show notes to this interview. If you've got a question for Octavio, which I'm sure you do, just shoot it off to me, kl@carrylutz.com. We'll forward it off to him, I promise you. And just make sure you sign up for a newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Octavio, always a very compelling and thought-provoking session with you indeed. We'll talk to you again real soon, and stay healthy and safe.
Thanks so much, Kay.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.